Chapter 4. "Gassy, what's the matter with you, girl?" Big Ma asked, as she thrust three sticks of dried pine into the stove to rekindle the dying morning fire. "You sure are taking a sorrowful long time to churn that butter." "Nothing," I muttered. "Nothing." Big Ma turned and looked directly at me. "You've been moping round here for the past week like you got the whooping cough, flu, and measles all put together." I sighed deeply and continued to churn. Big Ma reached out and felt my forehead, then my cheeks. Frowning, she pulled her hand away as Mama entered the kitchen. "Mary, feel this child's face," she said. "She seem warm to you?" Mama cupped my face in her thin hands. "You feel sick, Cassie?"
"No'm."
"How do you feel?"
"All right," I said, still churning.
Mama studied me with the same disturbed look Big Ma wore, and a tiny frown line appeared on her brow. "Cassie," she said softly, fixing her dark eyes upon me, "is there something you want to tell me?" I was on the verge of blurting out the awful truth about the bus and the men in the night, but then I remembered the pact Stacy had made us all swear to when I had told him, Christopher John, and Little Man about the caravan, and I said instead, "No, ma'am," and began to churn again. Abruptly, Mama took hold of the churning stick, her eyes searching mine. As she studied me, she seemed about to ask me something. Then the question faded and she pulled away, lifting the lid of the churn. "It looks ready now," she said with a sigh. "Dip out the butter like I showed you and wash it down. I'll take care of the milk." I scooped the butter from the churning lid onto a plate and went through the curtain to the small pantry off the kitchen to get the molding dish. It had been placed on a high shelf under several other dishes, and I had to stand on a stool to get it. As I eased it out, Mama and Big Ma spoke softly in worried tones on the other side of the curtain.
"Something's the matter with that child, Mary. She's not sick, Mama. There's all sorts of sickness. She ain't ate right for going on over a week. She ain't sleeping right neither. Restless and murmuring in her sleep all night long. And she won't even go out and play. Rather be in here helping us. Now you know that ain't like that child."
There was a moment's pause. Then Mama whispered so I could hardly hear her.
"You think, Mama, you think she could have seen..."
"Oh, Lord, no, child," Big Ma exclaimed hastily. "I checked in there right after they passed, and she was sound asleep. She couldn't have seen them old devils. The boys neither."
Mama sighed. "The boys, they're not themselves either. All of them, too quiet. Here it is Saturday morning, and they're quiet as church mice. I don't like it, and I can't shake the feeling it's got something to do with..."
"Cassie!"
Without warning, I had lost my balance, and with an absurd topple from the knee-high stool, crashed upon the floor with the molding dish.
"Cassie, you hurt?" Mama asked, stooping beside me.
"No'm," I mumbled, feeling very clumsy and close to tears.
I knew that if I let the tears fall, Mama's suspicion that something was wrong would be confirmed, for I never cried about such a silly thing as a fall. In fact, I seldom ever cried. So instead of crying, I jumped up quickly and began to pick up the broken pieces of the dish.
"I'm sorry, Mama," I said.
"That's all right," she said, helping me. When we had swept the chips away with the long field straw broom, she told me, "Leave the butter, Cassie, and go on in with the boys."
"But, Mama..."
"I'll do the butter. Now go on. Do like I say." I stared up at Mama, wondering if she would ever know what we had done, then joined the boys who were sitting listlessly around the fire, absently listening to TJ.
"See, fellas, there's a system to getting out of work," TJ was expounding as I sat down. "Just don't be round when it's got to be done. Only thing is, you can't let your folks know that's what you're doing. See, you should do like me. Like this morning, when Mama wanted to bring back them scissors she borrowed from Ms. Logan, I ups and volunteers, so she don't have to make this long trip down here, she being so busy and all. And naturally, when I got here,
Y'all wanted me to stay a while and talk to y'all. So what could I do? I couldn't be impolite, could I? And by the time I finally convinced y'all I gotta go, all the work will be done at home. TJ chuckled with satisfaction. Yeah, you just have to use the old brain, that's all. He was quiet a moment, expecting some comment on his discourse, but no one said a word. TJ's eyes roamed the length of the room, then he admonished, "See, if you were smart like me, Stacy, you'd use the old brain to get the questions on that big test coming up. Just think. They're probably just sitting right here in this very room waiting to be discovered." Stacy cast TJ an annoyed look, but didn't speak. "Y'all sure are a sorry lot this morning," TJ observed. "A fella's just wasting his know-how talking to y'all."
"Ain't nobody asked you to give it," said Stacy.
"Well, you don't have to get snippety about it," replied TJ haughtily.
Again, silence prevailed. But that wouldn't do for TJ.
"Say, how about we sneak down to that old Wallace store and learn how to do them new dances?"
"Mama told us not to go down there," Stacy said.
"You some mama's boy or something? You gotta do everything your mama tells?"
"You go on if you wanna," said Stacy quietly, not rising to TJ's bait. "But we staying here." Again, silence. Then TJ said,
"Say, y'all hear the latest about them nightmen?"
Suddenly, all eyes turned from the fire and riveted themselves upon him. Our faces were eager question marks. We were totally in TJ's power.
"What about them?" Stacy asked, almost evenly.
TJ, of course, intended to nurse the moment for as long as he could.
"You see, when a fella's as smart as me, he gets to know things that other folks don't. Now, this kind of information ain't for the ears of little kids, so I really shouldn't even tell y'all."
"Then don't," said Stacy with smooth finality, turning back toward the fire as if he cared not at all about the nightmen. Taking his cue, I nudged Christopher John, and Christopher John nudged Little Man, and the three of us forced ourselves to stare into the fire in feigned disinterest. Without a captive audience, TJ had to re-interest us by getting to the point.
"Well, about a week ago, they rode down to Mr. Sam Tatum's place, you know, down the Jackson Road toward Strawberry, and you know what they done?"
Stacy, Little Man, and I kept our eyes upon the fire, but Christopher John piped eagerly,
"What?